Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. It is 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. All across the United States, we are broadcasting, as well as in Canada, and to our international audience in Europe and Australia and Asia and all around the world. It is March 20th, 2020. It is Friday. We just want to extend our best wishes for all of our listeners and all of our guests. We hope everybody is doing well and hanging in there. We are, of course, experiencing unprecedented times at the time of this broadcast, which is live. It will be archived. But I think you're going to find the next conversation that we have with our very special guest relevant not only during these times, but in the future. And that's one thing that we are showcasing and celebrating here, especially right now on Close Up Radio, is the relevance of the information that our guest experts, who are extraordinary at what they do and are sharing with us incredible methodologies and techniques, tips, and resources that they have constructed for not only the good times, but for times that are unpredictable, times that we could never have imagined in our lives, whether it's through relationships and family, whether it's business and finance, leadership, all moments of our lives. And so the material that we're sharing is relevant today, tomorrow, and going forward. And we are continuing our exclusive series here with one of our terrific guests, and her name is Lindy Brewster. And again, I've had an opportunity to break bread with Lindy and also do a television video interview with Lindy and a series of these shows with Lindy. And she really is extraordinary at what she does. She is a woman with many dimensions. She unites people for a purpose. She helps shape businesses and their people into something better. And that is really delivering on this promise of growing in terms of income, in terms of relationships, improving relationships, productivity across teams and businesses, and so much more. And it's really a matter of helping those at the leadership level be wiser and more encompassing of others, the perspectives, the competencies, and so much more. Lindy is a principal of Or Consulting, a firm that really she has helped establish in the United States almost 2 decades ago. And she and her firm are distinguished for bringing psychology and its framework to the management and consulting industry. And it's extraordinary. We've been talking at great length about the implementation of their efforts and the successes that they've had with clients. They really delight in watching how people with their distinct emotions and personalities and ideas learn to solve complex problems. And the team really is exquisite at doing it because they ask the right questions and moderating conversations and can go a long way toward finding the best and most appropriate answers. They support client efforts in fundamental areas like leadership development, executive coaching, cultural change, team development. Right now, all of the things that are going on in our world, especially within the business community, are impacting greatly. Leadership development, coaching, cultural change. There's a pivot moment we're in right now, mindset. Some people are fearful and panicking. Other people are rolling up their sleeves and diving in and trying to think of creative ways that they can implement collaboratively with their teams, with their company, with their approaches to be able to, again, make adjustments and respond to what's going on. Of course, we're talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, which has affected every single one of us, basically worldwide in many different ways, shapes, and forms. So people working from home, depending on technology, a lot of virtual conversations happening, people staying connected that way as well. So there's some extraordinary things that Lindy's going to be sharing with us, and we're very excited about it because she gave me a teaser preview before we went live on the air about how her company and her team and the perspective and wisdom that they have are already helping people, not only again in the good times, but in the times that sometimes we are dealing with that come out of left field, like we're dealing with right now. So we've got a lot to talk about as we include current events into the conversation. So it's a relevant broadcast that'll be valuable for today and for tomorrow. Lindy, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's always a real pleasure to have you with us. Hope all is well on your end and things are moving forward and your family's well. And we appreciate your time here on the show today.
So thank you, Jim, and it's a real pleasure to be talking with you again, and I really appreciate the way that you framed up the discussion that we're going to have, because I think it's really relevant at this minute, and there are things that we can all do to put ourselves in a better place despite the threat of the virus itself.
One of the things and one of the advantages of your firm is the fact that psychology is behind a lot of the work. Now, I think that this is when you really, really shine because you have this unique background as a psychologist and the framework of psychology in dealing with leadership and things of that nature. So at this pivotal moment in time in many of our lives where we're dealing with the uncharted waters and the unknown, tell us about some of the things you are doing with your clients and some of the reassurance that you're providing and guidance that you're providing where 6 months ago things were going well and now all of a sudden the entire world has flipped upside down and we have to adapt and be flexible with that going forward.
So I'd put that into three buckets or categories. First of all, is the what can we do for ourselves in terms of our own psychological well-being? That the second piece is what is it that we can do as leaders to be better and more adaptive leaders in this situation? And those two are linked, but there's some clear differences for learning as leaders. And the third piece is, although this sounds counterintuitive, and for those people who are suffering badly from the virus, I know that what I'm about to say is probably not very meaningful, but for the majority of people who either have had or have not yet had the virus at a lighter level, I think there's a whole question of what can we learn for ourselves and our communities from this, what's happening around us. And I think it's really important that we look at the personal takeaways, because I think that helps us to be optimistic in an environment where it's so easy to be pessimistic. But let me start with the first one, the what can we do for ourselves. One of the things that I think is very obvious to all of us is the level of panic that has happened. And from a psychological perspective, in some ways that's not surprising, in that what we're facing, as you said, is unprecedented. It's unprecedented change from anything we've experienced before. And it's unprecedented because there's so much that's unclear. There's a lot that's still unknown about the virus. Nobody can quite predict how long it's going to take to move through this, because as yet, we have no real evidence other than that we're starting to see a glimmer of light coming out of both China and South Korea. But for the most part, for those of us who are in countries where the virus is really just starting, it can seem like there's no answer to when all this might end and what's going to happen. So it's easy to go into panic. And when we go into panic, what happens is we receive the threats coming in, and we very quickly find ourselves in a fight, flight, or freeze response. It's perfectly natural. It's our survival response. And in this case, we are facing something that potentially could kill us. So I think it's at a level that's probably more severe than we would see for other kinds of change. People are really frightened for their lives. However, when you look at the behavioral reactions, whether it's people getting to a place where they're way over anxious about what might happen to a point of becoming incapacitated, or like in the US these last two weekends where people have panicked and gone out and bought everything off the grocery store shelves despite being told that the food supply chain isn't in danger, and the kind of things that they bought, neither is going to help them necessarily, and it certainly doesn't help the communities or indeed the food supply chain in trying to replenish the shelves. So although panic seems to be a natural response, and it is very built into us, and it's the kind of thing we'd call an instinct, it isn't helpful in the long run, either to our own psychological well-being or to others. And when I say, you know, people have panicked and gone and bought all sorts of stuff, and it seemed to be buying, I think it's about getting a sense of control over something that's uncontrollable. And it almost doesn't matter what you buy. You buy the stuff because in doing that, you're getting some kind of sense of control. And so some of the stories I've heard is a friend of ours said that she'd gone shopping last weekend and had got to the checkout, and the person in front of her had a shopping cart, a big shopping cart, full to the brim and over the brim with one product. And the one product that was in that shopping cart was tortilla chips. And, you know, it makes no sense. Yes, it might be comfort eating, but it's not going to get you through the next few weeks, and it's certainly not going to do anything to enhance your health or the ability to combat a virus if you do get infected. So the question for us is, what do we need to do about that? And what we need to do about that is start to recognize the panic for what it is and begin to manage the physiology. So if I feel the need to run out and buy everything off the shelves, before I do that, just take stock of what's happening to myself. Is it that my stomach's churning? Am I breathing in a way that is very shallow? What's happened to my thinking? Where is it? Is it all over the place? Is it so focused on that one, I must get out and get the stuff? Where is it? The second step is to disrupt the physiology, and we disrupt it by deep breathing, and it's not just one deep breath, it's multiple deep breaths. We disrupt it if we, rather than rush down to the shop to get whatever it is that we might be able to get our hands on, we take a walk. We walk outside. Keep your social distance, but take a walk outside, because you'll be doing what your body is expecting to do, what your body is ready to do in the fight-flight response. And in that way, we deal with it. We deal with the adrenaline that's released. Count. And there's research that actually recently came out that said counting to 10 is not enough. You've got to count to at least 100. And actually, if you count backwards, it's even more effective at moving ourselves into the area of the brain that we are in. Into the area of the brain where we need to be, not where we are in, where we need to be, in order to be able to think logically, understand the facts, make sense of the different facts we're hearing, and think about our own situation and what we know about our own communities before rushing out to do things. When we do that, we actually feel better about ourselves. And not only do we feel better about ourselves, but we're not putting that extra stress on our bodies that we really don't need to be doing in this time where we might get infected. We really need to be managing our psychological health, because it has a direct impact on our ability to produce antibodies or not. So that's the first piece. I'll just pause there, Jim. Have you got any thoughts or reflections on that you'd like to share?
Well, I think that what you're laying out is perfectly laid out and well thought out as well, because that is numero uno for all of us. It is the psychological aspect and tending to that. Right now, we're all running around. We have all these other things that we have to do, whether it's the groceries, whether it's people at home with their caring for their children, whether it's checking in on seniors in our lives and the elderly, whether it's making sure, you know, where's the next paycheck coming from, and everything else that's coming out. And am I going to get ill, and a loved one's going to get ill, and friends get ill? So there's so much coming at us. And then, of course, there is the financial components of the stock market, what's happening to the retirements. And so if you look at it, you're looking at an overwhelm of information coming at us all at once. And that can do a couple of things, as you're describing. It can get us motivated to say, heck no, I'm going to do whatever I can, and sort of like a survival mode to care for the family and make sure I'm healthy and make sure, you know, that we're all pulling together and doing what we can to continue. And then another mindset is to stay frozen and scared and fearful and pull away and drink or whatever people do to numb it, to be so afraid of it that you pull back and you hide from it. And another way, too, is some people panic and they hoard and they grab everything because they think the entire world is coming to an end right now. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways and different mindsets that people are dealing with right now. And some might be going in and out of each of those. But I think with the guidance of people like you and your team, as having this psychological component to what you do and the understanding of leadership, that leads us to the thought of leadership, too. This is an extraordinary time when everyday individuals can become heroes, when everyday individuals can really comfort others and can really be a wonderful reassurance for others. And this is also a pivotal time for leaders to shine and rise above and really be a positive influence on the others that they're leading, right?
And just before we skip to that, just one, you sparked another thought there around what we can do individually. I said that the panic response, I think, is a response to us feeling like we're getting some control, and it's only a feeling of control because in truth it isn't getting us control. However, what we can do, and this is the reason it's important to be intelligent with our emotions, which means get them out into consciousness so that you can think about it differently, is to ask ourselves, what can I control and what can't I control? And when we do that, we start to approach things differently. So, for example, I had to have a conversation with myself about what was happening to my 401k investments. And the conversation mm-hmm. went like this. As the stock market started to tank, was it last week or the week before? I've lost all sense of time in this. I'm looking at my stocks at every break in work. So I'm looking at them like every 2 hours. And I'm going on and trying to see how it's affecting my 401k. And I was just getting so wound up about it. And in the end, I had to take a step back and, you know, and say to myself, you know, it is important for me to know the overall trend of where things are going. But in truth, with something like that, as my advisor keeps telling me, you've got to take the long term into account. And checking it every 5 minutes isn't going to help. It's only going to make you feel worse. So I've stopped looking at it more than once a day. And I've actually got to a point where I can actually manage not to look at it for 2 days, and I feel so much better about it. I know what's happening to the stock market, but I'm not panicking on a personal basis. The second thing is to really think about what you can do around your families and the support you can provide, because there's nothing we can do to make people feel protected. I was working with a group this week where we were talking about family that is remote, and I was reflecting on the fact that, I mean, my family is two oceans away, one across one ocean and one across the other ocean. And there is nothing that I can do except for make sure that we communicate more regularly than usual and that we use the technology so that we can see each other. And that in doing that, there's a level of comfort because you can talk about what is the best approach to things, and you can actually see each other and see whether people are well or not. And if not well, then you know you can step in even remotely and provide some help. So it's doing what you can under your control and not focusing and worrying about things that are actually totally out of your control. And I know that's easier said than done, but it is about us really managing that fight-flight response. So onto leadership. What's important about leadership? I've had an interesting couple of experiences in the last 5 days, which is a kind of compare and contrast excellent leadership with leadership going to be remembered for being behind the curve on what's happening. So the excellent leadership, 2 weeks ago, made a decision that as soon as the cases here in the US and elsewhere in the world, because they're an international company, started to ramp up, they closed offices and said, you can work from home and we'll support you working from home. And the way they supported people working from home is that they've been very clear that people need to manage their time around their families. I mean, they've actually said that to them. There's an understanding that kids are going to be at home all around the world because in most countries now, schools are shutting down, and that people have to put their families first and then think about how you work around that, how you get your job done. That they have continued to create meeting spaces for their employees using the technology. They've continued to do leadership development work with people using the technology, so people aren't in the same room. And they've continued as a community to reach out to each other. That company is going to do well both now and in the longer term, because people will remember how the leadership treated them and will look at that and go, wow, you know, this is a company that I want to be in because they really, really care about me as a person. Now, all companies are about hard results. And in truth, underlying the approach, I'm certain there is a thought about the fact that what you want to do is keep people engaged. But it's so far back in people's minds. What's in the leadership minds is they want their people to be well. They want their people to be healthy. They want their people to be as comfortable as they possibly can be. And they know that that will keep an engagement with the company. The other experience I had is of a company who had gotten itself well behind the curve. There are various things happening in their environment that means the leadership is feeling under some pressure. However, the focus of the leadership was we have to keep this place open as long as we possibly can because we really need the revenue and the cash. It's not that the other company doesn't need revenue and cash. It does. All companies do. And has had its own struggles. But unlike the first case where the focus was on the people, here the focus was on the revenue and cash. So they were very slow in, first of all, recognizing that it was an issue at all, even when their competitors were stopping people getting on flights internationally and across this country. They continued to work as normal. Even when the competitors were stopping visitors to their sites, it's a manufacturing company, stopping visitors to their sites and asking non-essential people to work from home and ensuring that they had the computers they needed to do that. And also in the manufacturing side, starting to work split shifts so that people were distanced from each other so that there was less of a chance of infection. This company did none of that. Just a few days ago, and I mean literally a few days ago, called a meeting at which they emphasized apparently the revenue and cash, and had decided that what they were going to do was scan people coming into the sites for any signs of infection. And in truth, some of the other more senior managers rebelled against that and said, we have to do more than that. A day later, or 2 days later, it was reported that on one of the sites, on one of the manufacturing floors, one of the workers there, one of the people who are key to the workforce, their partner was diagnosed with the virus. The consequence of that was they had to shut everything down and disinfect it all, but they insisted on everybody coming back to site, and have only now today, when it's that they're in a state where the governor has decided that everything has to be shut down, have they shut things down. That leadership will be remembered for that approach. That leadership will be remembered for not caring about their people first, caring about the finances first. The consequence of that potentially is that they lose a lot of loyalty, which in turn loses engagement, which in turn will affect badly their revenue and cash. I'm not saying it definitely will, but there is every likelihood that if I had to bet on which company is going to come out of this better off, I would bet on the first company I've talked about, not the second one. So what do you need to do as a leader? Well, first of all, as a leader, we've talked about adaptive work before, adaptive leadership. What you saw in the first case was adaptive leadership. They understood what was coming because they were reading the facts, they were listening and looking at what was happening, and they were putting their people first. The consequence of that is that they, and the leadership, and the people in their organizations, because they feel cared for, because they've been told to put their families first, are in a better place emotionally than those people who are panicking that they have to go into the workplace but really don't want to be in there and are very frightened, and who are now more likely to go into fight and flight. So that understanding your environment and then making good decisions around that is what adaptive leadership is all about. And it comes from an outlook on the world that is broadly curious about what's happening and able to evaluate that critically through critical thinking. And then engage the people. And engage the people in solutioning, which the first company has done, in how best to handle things like kids being at home and so on. It brings people together. They're able to listen to a different perspective that will help them make better decisions. And they're willing to challenge themselves to imagine what the future might look like. And actually what they're finding in the work that they're doing is the fact that they've stepped in to do what they're doing, they're getting all sorts of new learning from the experience that will actually help shape and develop the company going forward, ways to do things much faster and differently. And I think you see that as well, where, you know, even look at the compare and contrast local leaders. So around me here in Northern Virginia, there are some business owners and leaders of restaurants who very rapidly decided they had to shut their restaurant down, but what they were going to do was they were going to go out takeaway. And again, the community will remember that, as opposed to those people who are desperately holding on, hoping that everything will go back to normal, but maybe faced in the next week or two by shutting down and maybe in a position where it's a permanent shutdown because they've run themselves into the ground from a cash perspective. Right. They haven't thought creatively about how they might lead differently. So,
you know, we're seeing that. Exactly. We're seeing that happen, which I think that is a phenomenal point, Lindy, because we are seeing that happening from the corporate level down to the local level. There are, and I've witnessed it myself personally with companies that I know, and of course, God bless all the medical professionals who are rolling up their sleeves. I even have relatives myself who are nurses and doctors, and they are on the front lines and they're doing whatever they can for, you know, the good of everybody. But some of the corporations too, and even local businesses, are coming up with innovative ways and forward thinking to help the situation. For example, like Ford, which makes cars and trucks, they are now, since things are pretty idle and not as busy at the plants making those vehicles, repositioning, and they were asked by the government, we need you to make masks and other pieces of equipment. Yeah. So companies who don't normally do that kind of thing.
They quickly retooled. Right.
That's exactly, that lends perfectly to what you're saying right now. There are ways that you can retool and pivot. It might not be exactly what you're doing normally. However, people will remember what you've done. And that is a key thing. Yeah. And that is a leader, the leaders that really institute that and implement that, right? Effective leaders.
And, you know, I can see that we're coming up to the end of the half hour. I don't know where it went. But that's a great point for people to focus on. People will remember how you show up. And the final point that I'd want people to think about is, as we go through this, what can you learn for yourself that will help you do things maybe differently going forward? What can you learn about yourself that tells you about your own personal strengths? And keeping that optimistic lens, keeping the focus on the future and the fact that this will be over, while protecting yourselves and not doing stupid things like going out regardless and getting mixed in crowds regardless. But it's that optimistic learning about self that I think will bring people out much stronger and more resilient.
Exactly. And take advantage of technology. I mean, obviously, you and I right now are using technology to do our broadcast. And I'm here in the Northeast and you're positioned in Virginia. We're able to take advantage of the, you know, stay connected with people and check in with people. And don't ever think that no matter, you know, what success level one may be at, don't ever think that you can never contribute. You, what you think and do is of no value. If we all pull together, and like right now, it's the social distancing we need to do, and then, of course, increased hygiene, things of that nature. But it takes all of us collectively. And this is similar to what the Depression was like, the Great Depression. This is sort of a great equalizer. Right now we're all in the same boat at the same time, thinking and having a lot of the same emotions. It's the understanding of that and the appreciation of that, that we're, you're not alone and that we're all feeling it. So since so harness that energy that we're all feeling this at the same time. How did we lift ourselves out of the Great Depression? You know, what are things that we can do? There was the HIV crisis, there's SARS, there's Ebola, there's things that happen. How do we lift ourselves and work ourselves through that, even at the depths of times, which people are thinking that this is pretty close to that right now? How do we work ourselves through? So when we realize we're not alone and everybody else is in the same boat and thinking the same things, we can pull and harness that energy and turn it, roll up our sleeves and try to think of ways to adapt and pivot. We might not be doing the same thing we did yesterday. We may have to change that mindset. We may have to twist it around. If anything, people are home bringing more time to their family and they are having dinner with the family again and they're conversing and they're playing checkers and reading books and doing hobbies. From a psychological standpoint, they're reconnecting with humanity in ways that maybe when we get through this could be of great advantage to how society moves forward in the future. There may be some rays of sunshine that come out of this and how we treat each other and civility and respect and leadership and all the things we've always been talking about, right?
I couldn't have said it better. We survived through our communities, and although we may have to avoid face-to-face with people, there are other ways of doing that. You know, go and have a virtual cocktail hour with friends, sit on Skype or Zoom or whatever and have a cocktail. Go out and sit, as they're doing in Italy, sitting on balconies spaced from each other and singing to each other. I mean, I think there's many things that this pulls out for us. And then reflect on what you're learning about yourself.
Exactly.
But the greatest
right.
message
That's
for leaders
what it is.
Is, I think, the greatest message for leaders is value your people, engage your people, and put them first so that you can work with them to adapt and pivot. And the final thing I'd say is for everybody to think about the businesses that are local and think about how you can best support them in these times, because these times are going to be over and we don't want them to have gone away when we come out of this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Exactly right. Our very special guest, Lindy Brewster. She's extraordinary, principal of OR Consulting, a firm that she helped establish in the United States about 20 years ago. And she and her firm are distinguished bringing psychology and its framework to the management consulting industry. If you'd like to connect with Lindy and the team, I would advise that they're really good at what they do. You can go to www.orconsulting.us.com. That's O-R, then the word consulting.us.com. Lindy, thank you for your wisdom and your expertise and your suggestions and advice, as well as your comfort to many people listening right now. And this was a special episode, a little extended, because I think the time really warrants that. And always a pleasure speaking with you and chatting with you, and looking forward to speaking with you again at the same time next week on the 27th of March here on Close Up Radio. Thanks for all that you've shared with us today. Best to you and your family, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Lindy.
Thanks, Jim, and you take care, and your family as well. Good talking with you.
You as well. We'll talk again next week. Take care and bye for now. Again, I encourage you to connect with Lindy Brewster. She is extraordinary. I love her perspective, and I think you will too. You can go to the website www., or, and then consulting.us.com. That's or consulting.us.com. Good stuff. All right, Jim Masters here. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, thanks for being with us on this special episode of Close Up Radio. We thank our guest, Lindy Brewster. We wish you the very, very best. Hang in there, folks. We are all in this together, and we'll get through it together. For the entire team at Close Up Television and Radio, thanks for being with us in this episode. Stay tuned. More great guests coming up throughout the day and every day here on Close Up Radio Live. Have a great weekend and enjoy. Take care. Bye for now.